If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Those of you that are baby boomers, baby boomers is the generation born between 1946 and 1966. Why was it called the baby boomers? Because the men that went off to war from 1941 to 1945, when they came home, they were so overjoyed to see their wives that they just made babies. And so there was a baby boom. Never saw it before like we saw it during those years. And so that generation comes into the world, and now that generation is retiring. And unfortunately, there's no money. There's no money. When Social Security was created by President Roosevelt, for every one person that received Social Security, 19 people were working. At last count, it's 1-to-1. People are living longer. Folks were dying earlier in those days. The average lifespan in the 60s of a man was 56 to 59 years old. Now the average lifespan's about 74. You're living longer. The world doesn't know what to do with you. And so what happens, you wind up going into a home. Hopefully one day it'll be Bethel's senior complex. Hopefully one day, if Jesus tarries. Someplace where there are hills and you can have peace and quiet during your twilight years. But many people are forced to go in places where they are not wanted. And so that's why you find yourself reaching out. Even for that child that was a pain in the neck, you yearn to have them call you just to connect with them. And so we want to show you the mercy of God in the family. Everyone is not going to have biological children. It doesn't mean you're cursed. There is a biblical concept that spoke of that in certain instances, but then there are times when just genetically some things don't happen. You may find yourself only giving birth to one child. That doesn't mean that God is against you. God has given you a substantial family in the church. Jesus was told one day when he was in a house teaching, they said, your mother and your brother and sisters are outside. And he looked at them and said, who are my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? He said, it's the ones who do the word of God, do the will of God and hear the word of God. And so we affectionately refer to each person as brother or sister. And that's kind of a tradition in our churches. Especially in Pentecostal type churches, it's brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. But you need to understand, we truly are related. We have the same father, and we have the same mother. And God is our father, and God is our mother. The word, his name El Shaddai, means many-breasted one, and only women have breasts. And so God gives birth to you, and God births you. You are born of God and you're born by God. And so it's not that God is feminine, it's just that he has those characteristics of a mother. God, and I can say it to you because you're my 730 people, God will kill for you. There's not a woman who's a real mother that won't take you out if you mess with their child. And no one can truly understand why that bond is so great. Why that bond is so great. Well, that's how it is with God. You are God's child. So when God says, don't touch my anointed, he's serious. David was smart enough to realize that no matter how bad Saul treated him, he said, I'm not going to touch him. That's God's man. He's just God's man going south, but he's still God's man. Why? Because When you belong to God, you're part of God's family. And he wants a family. And so we have to understand what that means in the 21st century. In an age when family is really being dishonored. Family is being discredited. Family is being weakened. And there are many things that are coming in to substitute family connection. And I'm sorry to say that even church work has destroyed families. God has never intended that pastors compete with each other. He has never intended that ministries compete. He has never intended for ministry to come between a man and his wife or vice versa. God doesn't call you to ministry over your family's family obligations. That can happen. But that's part of our study for next month. If you see how the enemy has come in a very clandestine way, he has come in to destroy families. And by doing that, he has weakened the church. It's a shame before God that so many people are jealous of their own family. Someone in the family gets a new house. Someone in the family gets a new car. We should rejoice and go for a ride. That's what I do when somebody that's a Christian gets something new and they bring it to me. I say, I jump right in the front seat. I say, take me for a ride in our car. I'm not going to get jealous. And I'm not going to say these words. You know, God gave it to you. He can sure enough give it to me. No, it's not mine. It's his. You don't want to take someone's joy away by saying that God's going to do it for you. Just enjoy it with them. Just tell them, take me out the Shady Maple. Let's go someplace and be, you know, rejoice with those who rejoice. What does that promote? A unity that God will bless. Amen. Now here in Ephesians is the first letter that Paul writes with a family structure. First Thessalonians is his first theological letter. It's the first one that he wrote when he went on his first missionary journey, and after he comes back, Paul begins to examine all of the things that he has taught and what the response of the audience was to his teaching. And so 1 Thessalonians is the first letter that he writes, and when you read it, you will find that it lacks many of the theological teachings that he develops later. Remember, Paul is converted from Judaism to Jesusism. Not that Judaism is bad, but it's just that the Christian example is by grace through faith. He has yet to explain that dynamic doctrine until he writes to the church of Ephesus. For some reason, the Ephesian church is right on the brink of spiritual awakening, spiritual renewal. We find that this church in Acts chapter 19 receives the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands from the apostle, and there were a few people making up that great church at the time, and Paul encourages them, blesses them, and sends them back to their homeland in what we would now call Middle Europe. While he's under his first house arrest and what we would call a halfway house existence, he writes to this church at Ephesus. He writes to them to share with them the richness of their family connection. He writes with them to share how God, in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." This is an important concept for you to understand going into your Christian experience, that God has given you all spiritual blessings. Now, often because of our modern thought, because of our capitalistic mindsets, we often translate this verse to say God has given us all blessings. No, Paul is very specific that he has given you all spiritual blessings. Now, the word of God is given to us in a manner where we can let it say what it says. You don't need to interject anything. You don't need to change anything. Just let it say what it says. There are times you have to define words and decipher tenses, whether it's past tense, present tense, future tense. There are times you have to understand the legitimacy of the historical grammatical concept. But just let it say what it says. And Paul says here that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This is critical because he's not saying God gives everybody a brand new car. He's not saying that God gives everybody a $1 million house. And don't let the lies of the prosperity movement cause you to miss what Paul is saying. He is saying that he has given you everything you need in the spiritual realm for you to be complete in Christ. That means you don't need to go to God and ask for more love. He has given you all the love you need. You don't need to ask for more peace. He has given you all the peace that you need. Are you following me? So you don't need to go back and ask for anything else of the Spirit. They are all given to you. The usher has just come up and given me a glass of water. It would be improper of me to ask for water. How would she feel if I said, I need some water, and would somebody bring me some water? She would say, Pastor, it's right up there right next to you. And I just kept ignoring it. And I said, somebody bring me a glass of water. Even you would look at it and say, you have a glass. And I would keep crying out, somebody bring me a glass of water. And here's what would happen. Somebody would get up and say, let me get this man a glass of water so he can. But what would you think about me? You would say, well, don't you see what you have? You lack vision. Aren't you thankful for what you have? You lack gratitude. Don't you see that it's already been provided? You aren't aware of what has already been given to you. So what the devil does is causes you to ask for what's already been given. You're asking for peace. You have it. You're asking for joy. You have it. You ask for patience. You get it through tribulation. So instead of complaining about your trial, look at it as the source for bringing your patience. Why? God has given you everything you need. No, God has not given you every dime that you need. No, he has not. He has given you all that you need. I wish I could preach that, but you got to hear this. God has not given me every dollar that I need. But he has given me a brain, gifts, and favor to get what I need in that other realm. So instead of chasing what's not been given, use what's been given. Instead of going to God and saying, God, I need more money, why not say, God, give me an idea?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11515A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news! Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE, Channel 51, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH, Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise.